Welcome to the midweek edition of The Encouraging Word with Dr. Don Wilton. That's the voice, unique voice you heard just moments ago. And this Bible-based preaching is rooted in the truth of God's Word. Dr. Don Wilton, the last 25 years of his life, was the pastor to Dr. Billy Graham. And that relationship you can see and hear in his teaching and his love of God's Word itself, and his pursuit of always being a learner of the Bible as well. As he teaches today, know that we're available for you. We're connecting online at theencouragingword.org and also praying together at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Now, Dr. Don Wilton. The Encouraging
Word. Jesus Christ is the one who has paid the price. He's the Son of God. We've learned a lot, great deal. But in chapter 13, God, in essence, looks into our hearts and he says, enough talk. Let's roll. Wonder if there's someone here who's done a lot of listening. No action. Here's what you need to do. Get out there. You've got to train. This is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to make this call. And all that. But I'm going to tell you something, gentlemen. When that whistle sounds at the start of the season, enough talk. Time to show up. Doesn't matter what kind of recommendation you came from in high school. Water hits the wheel. I'm not impressed with how many times you were chosen to represent your state, or how many three-pointers you shot when you were in high school, or what strategies you've come up with as a team. When that whistle sounds and the season starts, let's roll. You listening? Church, are you listening? We church people are so good at doing a lot of talk, but we got no walk. And here in Hebrews chapter 13, there's a remarkable unfolding of events. And if you'll beg my pardon, I just want to list to you four or five or six of the actions that we've discovered, and then we'll pick up at verse 17, where we are today. Action number one, love your fellow Christians. That was in verse 1. Action number two, shared by all. Got any questions about your relationship with your spouse? Take a look at it, folks. Bible's not apologetic. The Bible says. Action number five, be content. We looked at three golden rules of contentment last week. Number one, never love what you have more than what you do with what you have. Golden rule number one. Number two, never crave what you do not have. Number three, never covet what others have. Those are golden rules. God says in verse 5, be content. Why are you spending all your life itching and scratching for the things that you don't have? Get on with what you do have. You may never be Michael Jordan, my friend, but you're jolly good the way you are. Action number 6, be imitators, verse 7. Action number 7, be strong. I love that in verse 9. Don't be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. College students, get on that campus. You young men, please forgive me, but I just admire you. Because I've been around basketball teams because of my son. I admire your discipline. I admire who you guys are, man. I don't single out, man, I admire accomplished pianists. I admire these people who sing, and I admire great students. I admire you for your discipline. Let me tell you something, guys. You might get out there and be the greatest basketball player that USC Upstate has ever been. But if your actions out there when you're not on the ballpark don't match up, you're dead, man. You got nothing. Be strong. Don't be blown around by everybody that comes up and says, come on, man, we're going out drinking tonight. You guys got guts enough to stand up on the basketball team, you got guts enough to stand up and say, excuse me, I don't do that junk. You understand me? That's a man's man. Somebody say amen. Amen. I don't do that stuff. Be strong. God looking into the heart of all believers, he's saying, be strong, stand up and be counted. Do something about what you believe. Be a real woman, be a real man. Action number 8, here we are. I want to read from verse 17. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They must keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. Verse 18, pray for us. We are sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honorably in every way. I particularly urge you to pray so that I may be restored to you soon. By the way, verse 19 is why many theologians believe that Paul wrote Hebrews. But we don't know that because there's no mention of his name, but the style and a lot of things in that kind of verse there suggests that he might have been the author. It actually doesn't matter because we know that God wrote it, didn't he? By his Spirit. Verse 20, may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and forever. Amen. Brothers, I urge you to bear with my word of exhortation, for I have written you only a short letter. Thank you very much. It took me 72 messages to explain this short letter. Verse 23, I want you to know that our brother Timothy has been released. If he arrives soon, I will come with him to see you. Greet all your leaders and all God's people. Those from Italy send you their greetings. Grace be with all of you. All right, here we go. Action number 8, be submissive. Now, dear friends, I don't single out anything more important than anything else because it's all important, but I'm going to tell you that when God talks about being submissive to Christians, he touches people like you and me at a very deep part of who we are because of one reason. When he looks into my heart, into the heart of Don Wilton, he says, be submissive. It is the most single difficult thing in my life, and I'm going to tell you why. Because quite frankly, I'm wonderful. And it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. And nobody can do it like me. And it just, I'm telling you, unless I know what's going on, it can't be done. Now, folks, we're gonna deal with a principle here that is so critical. And some of you are going to say to me, Pastor, who are our leaders? It begins in the home. Boys and girls, young people, your spiritual leaders are mom and dad. Now, here's what happens. You show me a teenager or a boy or a girl that is not submissive to God's order in the home, I'm going to show you a home that the joy has been taken out of it, number one. I'm going to show you a home, according to Scripture, that has a burden placed upon it. And number three, I'm going to show you a home where the disobedient child loses. Bible says it will be of no advantage to you. It's in a marriage. You say, who are the spiritual leaders? Your Sunday school teacher, your discipleship leader, your Bible study leader, those friends that God puts around you, your ministry team, the deacons of your church, the elders of your church. Whatever form of government you might have in your church, God's put leaders there. Right on through the board. Here's what God says to me. He said, listen to me, Don Wilton. Doesn't matter if you're the senior pastor of a church. You need to submit yourself. Now, folks, listen carefully to this principle. Now, I'm going to make a statement to you. In America today, the church, the evangelical church, is in a state of crisis. There are churches closing their doors left and right, and there are churches in conflict everywhere. Folks, I hear almost every month of churches, even in our own region, that are battlegrounds. Have you ever heard of churches that have business meetings that are war zones? Can I tell you why? This issue. Because there are men and women who stand up in churches and say, excuse me, unless I know about it, unless it runs through me, unless I've seen it, I don't approve of it because I am, quite frankly, God's special gift to everybody. Excuse me, brother? Now, what is the church? The church is the body of Christ. Well, just think of a body. Christopher Reeve, this past week, died. No doubt a great man. Everybody knew him. He had a terrible accident, fell off a horse, and broke his body. His body could no longer function because it was broken, and it ultimately killed him. The Bible tells us we are the body of Christ. Some of us are this finger, that finger, that finger, that finger. The head is the church. And the Bible says, as the body of Christ, God enables us by His Spirit to come together as a body in mutual submission to one another, functioning as members of the body in order to carry out the work that God has given to us. Otherwise, it doesn't work. That's what God says. This is not something the deacons decide or the church covenant. And if I can say with all my heart, it doesn't matter what I think about it. God says it. By the way, this is a principle. Whether you're in a basketball team or you're in a business, you show me a business where people don't submit to each other and I'll show you chaos. You show me a basketball team where you get one member who thinks he's arrived, he thinks he's God's special gift to that team, and I'll show you a team that's not a team. They won't be able to get it together. Doesn't matter how gifted he is. Submission to one another is not a denigration or putting down the unique giftedness that we have. It's bringing it all together and working as a team. Now, folks, listen carefully. This is a critical point here. I want to use a couple of illustrations. Let me use building together in faith. You cannot micromanage the ministry of God's Word. And the results are there for everybody to see. You take the finances of a church like this. You elect a wonderful group, finance team members. You want to see the work that goes into the budgets coming from hundreds of people, hundreds of team members. Finance team, taken to this, taken to that. Besides that, we have an independent audit done of this church every single year. Folks, let me tell you something. The day that any person stands up in this church and says, before I vote for something, and by the way, we don't vote in this church, we put our blessing on God's Word. The day somebody stands up and says, I will not vote for that until I have seen it, is the day we stand in the face of God and we say, I will not submit in the body of Christ. We'd never get anything done. Can you imagine if I went to Steve Skinner? Steve, I said, Steve, I know God's called you to be the minister of music here, you know. Now, I'm the senior pastor. I've been given charge of everything in this church, from Genesis to Revelation, from A to Z. And I just want you to know, Steve, as of tomorrow, every song, every worship service you plan, everything you do, I need to approve. If I don't see that song before you get it, we're not going to sing it. We're in trouble, folks, because we'll sing Jingle Bells every Sunday. How could God give us a more godly, gifted minister of music than Steve Skinner? We submit to him. Amen. Friends, listen. This is the most incredible stuff. Here's what he said. Let me read it again to you, just in case you missed it. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them, watch this, so that their work will be joy. When you don't submit to one another in the church, you rob people of joy, folks. You don't submit in your home, you will rob your home of joy. You show me a home where there is disobedience and a refusal to submit, and I'll show you an unhappy home. Then it says, not a burden. And by the way, for that would be of no advantage to you. You one of those people who stands up in a business meeting, and I'm grateful we don't have anybody like that, folks. Let me tell you, I'm here today to thank you as a church for following God's mandate. You say, wait a minute, Pastor, you're bragging. I'm bragging on Jesus Christ. People say to me all the time, how come God is blessing this? I preached up at Mud Creek in Hendersonville, a wonderful group of people, packed out congregation. I had some people say to me, Dr. Wilton, what is it about First Baptist Church? You're hearing it. The day a man or woman in this church stand up and say, I want you to know, I don't care what people have done, and I don't care how much has been done, and I don't care who's doing it unless I see it. Excuse me? Not in the house of God. Not in the house of God. No, sir. Well, you might say to me, well, Pastor, what does it mean to be submissive? Let me give you five pointers. Number one, what it means to be submissive is to trust God. You might want to call these five principles of submissiveness. Number one, trust God. See, when I submit to somebody, I trust God. Mutual submission is not silence. Mutual submission is not in any way denigrating giftedness. We bring all of that to bear upon what we're doing in submission to one another. But I'm going to tell you something. I honor you for the work you're doing. And friend, listen to me. I trust God, don't you? Take every one of us out. I trust God. This is God's house. He's the head of the body. Principle number one, trust God. You're going to be submissive. Number two, acknowledge the work of the Spirit of God in others. What does it mean to be submissive? It means that you're acknowledging the work of the Spirit in other people. Now, folks, let me show you a man who doesn't acknowledge that. A man who's not willing to be submissive says, are you kidding me? The Spirit only speaks through me. I'm the only one. I'm God's special gift to mankind. And unless I know, it couldn't possibly be right. Let me tell you, folks, I've got an announcement to make. God's Spirit dwells in all people who know and love Jesus Christ. And God works just as much, if not a whole lot more, in other people as He works in my heart and life. And if I'm not willing to be submissive to brothers and sisters in Christ, how do we ever get a job done? We're going to micromanage it? That's why in a church like this, folks, we don't call meetings all the time. What do you want to call meetings all the time? I've never had a single person in 12 years ever complain because we don't call meetings every time we want to do something. We go stark raving crazy, folks, because we wouldn't acknowledge the work of the Spirit in the life of godly leaders. Number three, value the work of others. What does it mean to be submissive? It means we value the work of other people. See, friends, when I submit to someone who's a leader, spiritual leader, I value what that person does. Friends, the problem in the evangelical church today is that there are too many people who don't value one another. We're like crossfire on television. Folks, if you've listened to the debates, it is unbelievable. They just are not listening to each other. I mean, you can have a presidential debate. You'll have a Democrat and a Republican, and afterwards the Republican will say it's green. He said it was green. The Democrat will say, no, it's blue. He said it was blue. And it doesn't matter what the fella actually said. Green, blue, end of the story. That's what we're hearing in America today, over and over and over. Now it's got to the point we even tell each other what someone was thinking. Just listen, America. Wake up, country. Wake up. Friend, if the church doesn't stand up on the principles of God, what have we got to stand on? Somebody out here has got to call a spade a spade. Somebody. Value what other people do. Number four, if I'm going to be submissive, it means that I accept that there is too much work to be done. Well, we're just using First Baptist in Spartanburg as an illustration. Let me tell you, folks, there's too much work to be done. I happen to be the senior pastor of this church, and my charge is to oversee everything in this church. Is there anybody here who'd like to stand up and say that I can do everything in this church? Not on your life. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. We got too many godly people in this church, folks. We got to submit to one another. We've got to accept that there's too much work to be done. We don't have time. Let's roll. The attack has already started. The buildings are beginning to collapse. America is going down the drain. Somebody somewhere needs to stand up and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Where are we, America? We don't have time to deal with junk and trivialities. And I defy you, sir, if you stand up and you believe that you're the only person that God can speak through, I defy you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, not in the house of Almighty God. Not in the house of God. We will stand upon His word. Gentlemen, when you play ball this season, stand as one man. You run out there with any sense of your own self-worth or your own self-magnificence, I want you to know you've lost the season before you begin. You've lost before you begin. What does it mean to be submissive? Trust God. Acknowledge the work of the Spirit in others. Value the work of others. Except there is too much work to be done. And number five, I must put this in. Volunteer at the point of your own giftedness. That's what it means to be submissive. Get on with it. In the local church, some of you are sitting down. You should be standing up. We've got work to do in the house of God. I'm calling upon the people of God to stand up and be counted at the point of the giftedness that God has given to you. If we're not submissive, what it means is that we wait for things to come to us. And then we're deeply offended because they don't quite match our personal preference. You don't sit around and wait for things to come to you and then have something to say about it. Get on board. Get with the program. Stand upon the Word of God. Get involved. Stand up and be counted. All right. Number 8, be submissive. Number 9, be prayerful. Verse 18. It's a wonderful thing, be prayerful. It kind of leads on naturally. Here the writer is saying, look, if we're going to be leaders, you need to pray for us. We need to pray concerning the matter of conscience. He says we need to be sure that we have a clear conscience. We need to pray, number 2, concerning the matter of conduct. He says here that we live honorably in every way, because if the conduct of the spiritual leader is contradictory to their leadership, you've got a problem with leadership. So we need to pray that our leaders have a clear conscience and that they live honorably. And number 3, concerning the matter of the will of God in verse 19, he says, pray that I may be restored to you. Bottom line is, folks, what's God saying? That's the collective godly wisdom of a church of God's people. Be prayerful. And number 10, I love this. Be a blessing. Be a blessing. Thunder roll, it comes to a crescendo right from verse 15, 16, 20 through 25, he said, go out and do good, be a blessing. And we find ourselves in the context of this unbelievable benediction. God, I believe, saying to us, look, I've taught you all these things in Hebrew. Bottom line, be a blessing. Why? Number 1, because you have peace, the God of peace. Number 2, because you have the great shepherd. He tells us about it in this benediction. Folks, can I make an announcement? I've met the great shepherd. I want to be a blessing to you and introduce you to him. Number 3, because we are being equipped. He said here in verse 21, equip you with everything. Isn't it a wonderful privilege, folks, to be equipped? That's what's been going on. That's what happens at First Baptist. God is equipping us. This is a ministry of equipping. Our mandate is to equip the saints for what? For ministry. We're equipping. We're equipping. That's what God tells us to do, is to equip one another. Boy, where would we be if our moms hadn't equipped us? How to live this life. Number 4, because we are being urged. He says here that he may work in us. God urges us. God is urging me to go out and to roll and to be a blessing. Number 5, because we are being taught. He says in verse 22, I urge you to bear with my word of exhortation. Why bear with it? Because folks, when we are taught the word of God, some things are hard to bear. Have you ever thought about that? By the way, whoever told you that everything you learn in life is easy to accept? It's what he's telling us. Now you might say to me, well, Pastor, what do you mean by that? What I mean by that, folks, is there's probably someone somewhere who's saying, yeah, I tell you what, I'm a member of this church or I'm a member of that church, but I'm going to tell you something. Over my dead body, they're going to do anything like that without my permission. over my dead body. They're going to ever do that unless I know. Have you ever been in a meeting, and I haven't been in our church. I'm just telling you, folks. You ever been in a meeting, in a church meeting, where they say, now, wait a minute, we've got this proposal on the table. This group of gifted men and ladies, this godly group of people have done their job. They've discharged their duty. We're bringing it to the table. And somebody says, now, hold on. Before we bring it, we better go and visit Mr. So-and-so or Mrs. So-and-so, and we better tell them all about it, because if we don't go and tell them, we're in trouble. They're going to oppose it. So we need to go and change this man's diaper to get him on our team, even though he's not part of the process in that regard. Listen to me, friends. That is an abomination in the nostril of God. Let me tell you something, my friend. If anybody has ever come to you with something because they believe if they don't come to you, the church is in trouble, I'm going to tell you what's about to happen to you. Number one, you're going to rob the church of joy. Number two, you're going to place a burden on the church. And number three, you ready for this? You lose. You're going to be one of these people who go through life backwards, tunneling underground. Have you ever met someone who's a church member who's always unhappy? That's who I'm talking about. Have you ever met someone, every time you meet them, they've got a complaint about something? That's who I'm talking about. It doesn't matter what's going on, where they are, they're always bent out of shape. Now, what did God say? He said, listen, you've got the God of peace. You have the great shepherd. You're being equipped. You're being urged. You are taught the truth of the Word of God. You're being told what God teaches you, not by a preacher or by a church covenant, by what God says. That's why I love to be in a church like this, where the Word of God is the centerpiece on the mantelpiece of life. I love that, folks. I love being a Bible teacher. Do you know why? Because God tells us what He wants us to know. Walking around saying, I wonder what we could pick on for next week. I wonder what subjects they need to hear. I wonder where we could nail each other. I wonder where we could send a message. Nope. You get hold of the Word of God, God will send all the messages He needs to send. Amen? I love studying the Word of God.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that Jesus died for me on the cross. Today, I repent of my sin, and by faith, I receive you into my heart. In Jesus' name. My friend, I welcome you today into the family of God. This is exciting news.
Hope you have a wonderful Wednesday. We'll be back tomorrow with more of the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton here at this same time on The Encouraging Word. Between now and then, let's stay connected online at theencouragingword.org, or you can meet us on the phone at 866-899-9673.